I've been doing a series called Squeaky Clean. Somebody say, squeaky clean. Soaked in righteousness. Soaked in righteousness. The heart of humanity has always been to be right with God. The heart of God has always been for humanity to be right with Him. We've said, God, I want to know You. God says, I want to be known by You. And that really is the history of humanity, in that when He created us to begin with, it was to have relationship. It was to live with us. It was to work with us. It was Him walking in the cool of the day and communicating, and us joined together and us co-laboring together with Him. And then sin came in. And as a result of sin, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so right there in that scripture, we see a picture that God never wanted us to fall short of His glory. That actually that God wanted us to live in a place that we're experiencing His glory every single day. The goodness of God is His glory. Moses said, God, show me, I beseech You, show me Your glory. And so God said, I'm going to answer your prayer, and I'm going to put you up in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to make My glory pass before you. And the answer, what is the glory of God? He said, I'm going to make all My goodness to pass before you. And so if you want to say, what's the glory of God? It is the goodness of God. God always wanted us to experience His glory, His goodness, His favor, His life, His power. I mean, I'm talking about out of your bellies to flow rivers of living water that would express His goodness to every area of your life. Whatever's going on in your life today that doesn't reflect the goodness of God, that doesn't reflect the glory of God. Your finances need to reflect the glory of God. Your family needs to reflect the goodness of God. Your bodies need to be put God on display, reflect the goodness of God, His glory to be manifested in every area. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, and so the power of the cross, the plan of salvation, was to bring man back into union with God in a way that he could now experience the goodness of God, the glory of God, all the time, every day. In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, Paul's praying there in verse 17, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, let's pull that up. I pray that that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of His calling, and that you would know what is the riches of, I'm going to wait till it comes up. I don't want to misquote it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Hallelujah. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of glory, notice the connection there, the Father of glory, the Father of goodness, the Father of the blessing, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Look at this. In the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. He wants you to come to a place of knowledge concerning who He is, concerning the glory that He has, concerning His goodness. Look at the next verse. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of what? The glory. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. not of his inheritance, to the saints. That in you right now, in the saints, all the goodness of God now exists. The glory of God exists. Turn with me over to chapter 3. And let's look at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I'm going to take some time and go through some scripture this morning to set up the next 2 weeks that I believe, because you've got to get a hold of what righteousness by faith is, because out of righteousness, get this, out of this right standing with God springs forth salvation. Isaiah tells us, rain down, you heavens, righteousness, and let the earth sprout forth and bring forth salvation, deliverance. And so your deliverance and you experiencing the glory of God and you experiencing the kingdom of God and you experiencing everything, the victory that's available to you comes out of a true understanding of righteousness. Amen. And without a true understanding of righteousness, you will not experience true salvation. So here in verse 16, it says that he would grant you according or in the measure of the riches of his glory. So look, as you have access into the glory, into the goodness of God, then it says you would be strengthened with might by his spirit, which is now in your inner man. Look at the next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, how? By faith. Amen. You cannot disconnect the goodness of God, the grace of God, and everything that he's provided from faith. Faith is what gives you access into it. And unfortunately, sometimes in today's environment and in what's going on culturally in Christian circles, faith has been set aside. And so we talk about the grace of God or the goodness of God, and we've forgotten to talk about faith and its place that it needs to have in our lives, and it's essential. It's essential. It's not optional, because here's the truth: you will not experience anything that God has freely provided to you if you're not in faith. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And I'm going to put this out to you. There ain't no other way to live. Like there's not another option to experience the goodness of God. It has to be done through faith. You have to believe. You have to learn what faith is. You have to operate in the principles of faith and learn how to trust God so that you can experience the fullness of his glory and the fullness of his grace. That you being rooted and grounded in love, look at the next verse. That you would, as you step into this place through faith and being rooted and grounded in love, you would be able to comprehend with all the saints. One person's not going to be able to comprehend all of the love of God. It takes all of us together to express what the love of God is. Somebody's going to get a different aspect, a different facet, because God is too infinite. God is too amazing. God is love. And so the eternal, infinite God is eternal, infinite love. And us finite people can't comprehend all of that just in ourselves. And so we together begin to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which goes beyond our natural knowledge. God wants to get us to a place that we're moving past our intellect, past what we see in the natural, past what we experience in the natural, for this purpose, that we, that you, say that me, that I, say I, might be filled with all the fullness of God. The truth of the matter is you're filled with the fullness of God in your spirit, man. The day that you got born again, the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so you're born again. But here's God's desire for you, is that your soul your emotions, your mind, your will, everything about you, your character, your personality gets filled with the fullness of God. God's desire is that your body gets filled with all the fullness of God. God's desire is that your family gets filled with the fullness of God. God's desire is that your finances is filled with the fullness of God. God's desire is that everything that you touch flourishes and is blessed and gets filled with all the fullness of God. Man, we just need to be filled to overflowing. The glory of God is just overflowing. And just, it's not about just us. It's about now how it affects people around us. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and it's in accordance or in the measure of the power that works in us. As we talk about righteousness, first of all, let me just say this. An understanding of righteousness. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is a couple of things. Righteousness, number one, is our standing with God. How does God view us, and are we right with God? Are you right with God? I said this a few weeks ago. If I were to tell you that at 5 o'clock today, all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of God or the judgment seat of Christ, and I proved it to you, and it's bona fide, and you believe that that was going to happen, what would it do in your life? Would you spend the rest of the day confessing every sin that you could think of and making sure everything's taken care of just to make sure you're right with God? Or are you already convinced in the righteousness that comes by faith because of what Jesus did on the cross? Amen. See? Amen. And so, how much have you embraced your right standing with God? Righteousness also, and some people don't want to talk about behavior now in the church, but a true understanding of righteousness produces a righteous lifestyle. That actually what God intended or what God intends for us isn't just to accept a righteousness that comes from Him with regard to us, but then has no practical effect in the way that we live. And I know there's a lot of people that they'll talk about, yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, God's made me holy. God's made me righteous. And now what I do and how I live doesn't matter. Because of what the blood of Jesus. Listen, what God came to do was to transform lives, not just to forgive you of sin. That what He wanted to do was get sin out of the way so that you could live the life of transformation and be righteousness on display. That the nation, a nation rejoices when people that are in righteousness are in government. And that where our nation has gone and where the world has gone is because there's nobody out there that is letting righteousness letting righteousness be put on display, that it's, they're not letting it affect their behavior. They're not letting it affect the way that they talk. They're not letting it affect the way that they live. But Jesus came to totally transform us. What does it look like for you to be filled with the fullness of God? It will affect the way that you act. It will affect how that you live. The fact of the matter is that as God began to talk about righteousness, what He did is He started setting what that standard of righteousness was through the law. Let me read some scripture to you, because we got to be cautious in how we look at this works of the law versus a righteousness that comes by faith. There are two types of righteousness. So if you're a student of the Bible, but this is so important that you get this. So I'm going to be very doctrinal for the next little bit, because you have to get this. This comes from the Word of God. And if you don't, it can affect the rest of your life. It will also answer questions why you haven't experienced the glory of God the way that you need to and the way that God intends for you to. Two types of righteousness. Righteousness from the law and righteousness that comes by faith. When God created the law in Mount Sinai, to the children of Israel, what he did is he set up a system. God was always about trying to help his people get into a place that they weren't ruled by sin and by death. And so what God did, because man was unregenerate, man was over, you know, unrighteous, in a place that they could not experience the blessing of God, he gave them a system of rules. He said, this is the righteous standard. You don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't, you know, and gave all 10 commandments, but then there's another 600 or so that he also gave them. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, let's take a look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, this really describes, this is a perfect example of what the righteousness that comes from the law. And when I say law, it's I've got to do good to get good. I've got to do right to be blessed. And so basically what happens is a righteousness that comes through works, through what I do, will determine how blessed I am. And so my blessing is dependent on who? Me. Look at this. It will come to pass. If you can you switch that to the New King James Version? I'll go ahead and start reading it here. See if you can change the version here. It shall come to pass, or it will come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So notice, you could underline or circle that word if. There's the condition. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. So if I do right and keep all the commandments, this is going to be the result. Verse 2. And so all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, and circle the word or underline the word because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So again, because I obey, the blessing will come, right? And so basically, my being in right standing with God, my doing right, is based on what I do. Blessed you'll be in the city, blessed you'll be in the country. Man, we love to read this part, right? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your crown, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. First of all, see the heart of God. He's wanting his people to experience full blessing. Okay? He didn't say in this that if you obey me, that there's going to be a little rain and a little good times. So there's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs. God has always been about his people experiencing his perfect goodness, his perfect glory, not to bring them through difficult times to teach them something, but to help them experience his goodness all the time. And so that's what you see. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Let's keep going. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed you'll be when you go out. You know, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They will come out against you one way, flee before you seven ways. Man, this is the blessing of God. The Lord will command the blessing of on you and your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so it goes on and on and on. He'll establish you. But it says, if you command, or if you obey. But if you don't obey, verse 15, 16 on down, for another 50 some odd verses, all these curses will come on you. Well, here's the problem. They couldn't keep it all. They couldn't keep it all. Everybody made mistakes. Let me read a couple of things to you real quick. I'm just going to read some scripture that will help kind of establish this. You can write it down. I mean, righteousness of the law, number one, I just wrote down a couple of things. You do good to get good. You do bad, guess what you get? Some bad juju. Your works, number three, determined your blessing. Your obedience, number four, determined whether you were righteous or not. In other words, how I act determined how God saw me. It was always, you were always working out of debt to God. You owe God this. And so you're always trying to work it off. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that there was a glory to it, but that was a glory that faded. And so I'm not going to go too far. And at number seven, the law was always meant to lead us to Christ because we could never accomplish this on our own. And so what happens here in in Romans chapter 10, well, let's see. In Romans chapter 9, verse 30, it says, "What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness." Talking about the nations, talking about us. "Even the righteousness that comes by faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained it." Why? "Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." Chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." A lot of people have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're seeking to establish their own righteousness." Self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness, that's right. "They have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." That's where faith comes in. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law." And I'm on Romans chapter 10. And I just lost my place. Romans chapter 10. "For Christ is the end of righteousness. For Moses writes, the man who does those things shall live by them." Don't forget that. That may be verse 4 or 5. Let's bring that up. I need you to see this for a minute. For Christ, let's go to verse 5. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law." Okay, and you're saying, well, how does this even apply to us? I'm about to tell you. So I need you to see this scripture right here. "The man who does those things shall live by them." The man that lives those things shall live by them. I'll explain it to you here in just a second. "But the righteousness," for the next verse, "of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Check this verse out. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." But when he says, Moses said, "They that do these things will live in them," how does that apply to us? There's a lot of believers, a lot of Christians that are still trying to become right with God. Did any of you play the game Mother May I growing up? Mother May I, and you know, I always tried to play it when my girlfriend was the mother, so because she would always give me she'd make sure I was the first one there. It wasn't always fair, because whoever was giving us the instruction had their favorites. And I always hated it when I wasn't the favorite, you know, but you know, they say, "Hey, take two giant steps. Mother, may I?"
Yes, you may.
"Thank you." You know, "Now take three baby steps." Oh, man. And what do? You start over, right? And how many times do we approach God the same way? How many times do we live our life? Okay, I'm gonna start out by I'm gonna read the word every single day. And I'm gonna get up in the morning, I'm gonna pray, you know, and this time I mean it, God. As if the other 10,000 times you didn't mean it. But this time, how many of you had 1,000 this times in your life? All right, and so Monday morning comes around, and you get up early, and so you start reading the word, and it's all good, and everything's good, and you're praying. It's like you're doing good. And day two, you're doing the same thing, you know, and day three, and you feel like you're kind of getting closer in that relationship with God. It's like this Father May I kind of thing, and you keep going, and then man, you've worked so hard all week long, and Saturday rolls around, and you just can't bring yourself to get up. Or better yet, maybe you did good on Saturday, but then Sunday comes. It's like, man, this is a good day for me to sleep in and watch my live stream. And you know, here's the thing. Pastor can never check on you to see if you're actually watching by live stream or not. So you can say you watch. No, I'm just kidding. But you do something, you didn't keep your commitment, and guess what? You just feel like you've started all over, and you're coming back and you're trying to get to God again. You know, I grew up riding motorcycles, man, we loved climbing these hills. My dad took us to places, like if Mom knew where Dad was taking me, she may have changed her mind about it, but we would climb up these hills where literally people with dune buggies and different things like that would climb, and they would roll over and break their arms and all kinds of stuff. And here we are at 9 and 10 years old, and we got these little YZ80s, these little two-stroke things. And we'd get a running start, and we'd get halfway up the hill, and those things would just and just bog down right there. Well, once you're halfway up that hill, you can't start it up to keep going. Okay, you always have to get a running start, particularly with our little motorcycles. And so, you know, sometimes Dad, bless his heart, would come down and help push us up. How many times have you felt the same way? Hey, can you come pray with me? Let's get together and let's do a Bible study together. I need some help to get up this mountain so we can find the glory of God together. And so we're trying to work together. Now we're trying to rope other people into our own self-righteousness and our own works to try to get it done. Because I can't get it done on my own, so I need somebody else to help me. You know, and I can't tell you how many times Dad had tried to push us up the hill to try to get us to the top. But more often than not, what we did is we'd have to turn it around, ride it all the way back down, try to get another running start to get up. That's just the way we live life. But man, we had fun doing it, and we thought it was a lot of fun. Man, sometimes I think a lot of us Christians, we're on those YZ80s of works, man. This time I'm going to go up the hill and I'm going to get to the mountain of God and I'm going to. And so what we do is we set up a system for ourselves that self-inspects to try to make sure that God's good with us. And they that try to keep the law and do everything right shall live in it. And so when you have that mindset, what happens is James tells us that if you then break one aspect, you can't pick and choose which pieces of the law you want to do. Like you can't just say, okay, here's my set of rules and I think God's good with me to keep that. But this set of rules, you know, that's under the old covenant. You can't pick out stuff. Okay, God wants me to pray all the time. God wants me to read the Bible. God wants me to do this. God wants me. Like this describes a perfect Christian. No, that becomes now you're self-inspecting. And this is what Paul, so one final scripture, and then I'm going to bring it to a close. One final scripture, because if you find yourself frustrated, if you find yourself constantly trying to achieve and not experiencing the blessing of God and trying to and maybe you haven't experienced blessing and you're just tired. Have anybody ever experienced being tired as a Christian? Burned out? Child of God, that's never what God intended for us to do. He came that we would have life and live it more abundantly. And starting next week, I am going to begin to talk how to really experience the reality of a righteousness that comes by faith, so salvation begins to spring up and you begin to experience the effortless life that God wants you to have in experiencing rest and experiencing joy and experience a communion with your Father that you didn't know was possible. This is the revelation that Jennifer and I got 8 years ago that literally transformed our lives in the goodness of God. So transformed us that to hear him all the time. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is dealing with a group of Christians. Let's read this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul is literally dealing with a group of Christians. Father, I just give you praise for what's going on right now in Jesus' name, for what you're about to do. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I need to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Many times we were sinners. We were unrighteous. We heard about a God who saves us, a God who delivers us, a God who forgives us. Thank you, Father. We respond to that. We say, yes, I need to be forgiven of my sin. Yes, I need to be made right with God. And so we accept Jesus, who then transforms our life and brings us into right relationship with God. And we simply responded out of faith. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying for a moment here, and get this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You got to be in a mode of you're blessing the Lord. You're forgetting. You're not forgetting. And He says, who forgives all of your iniquities. And here's the reason why this is so important, because sin is the root of every curse. Sin is the root of darkness. Sin is the root that allows Satan access into your life. And so when Jesus forgave on the cross, that what it did is it cut off the root, and therefore the fruit of it is dealt with. He forgives all of your iniquities, and then it goes on to say He heals all your diseases. Notice iniquities were taken care of first. Your sins were taken care of first, so that now, as a result of that, the fruit of those iniquities and sickness and disease and poverty and all of those things that would destroy your life has lost its right and its power to operate in your life. This is the reason why it's so important that you get an understanding of righteousness, because if you're not secure in who God has created you to be, then you will see what is happening in your life as something either that you deserve, something that you opened the door to, something that that you begin to empower Satan. In other words, that God wants you to go through difficult times or something like that, because you're not established in righteousness. And in what God has done for you. So He's forgiven your iniquities. He's healed your diseases. It says He redeems your life from destruction. Your life is redeemed from destruction. Man, that's powerful. Is it possible for us to believe that? See, so there in Galatians chapter 3, He says, this I want to know, verse 2. I'm asking you one question. How did you receive Christ? Yeah, bring it up. Verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by doing everything right? The answer is no. Or did you receive the Spirit simply by responding in faith after you heard? That's the right answer. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? You started in faith. You started in the Spirit. You started just receiving. You started just believing. Are you now made perfect by doing everything right? Like, you couldn't get to God, first of all, so God just saved you when you responded in faith, and now all of a sudden, God's going to look at what your performance is to determine whether or not He can continue to bless you. No. We got to move past that thinking and recognize I don't now do to be blessed. I'm blessed that empowers me to do. Yes, there's a transformation. Yes, I'll live a holy life. Yes, I'll live the blessed life, but I live it from a right understanding that I'm not trying to get God to bless me because I'm doing everything right, because then now we have a hierarchy system that the pastors must be better off than I am because, you know, he's pleasing to God and that sort of thing. No, God created a total level playing field. If you're new here today, you may have been part of a church where there's this hierarchy where, you know, there's the pastor and then there's other people and there's an inner circle and all of that, and one of these days maybe I'll get there. And that's never the way that God intended it to be. Under the law there was a separation between priesthood and the common person, but under the new covenant He has made us
kings and priests. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And we are all been made kings and priests unto God. There is no difference.